In our gospel lesson today, we find a man named Jairus. Jairus was a normal guy. He wasn't a king or a prophet or a priest even. He hadn't been chosen by God, not any more so than any of us have been. He was just like you and me, but he was desperate as desperation gets. He was deep within desperation's dark, dreary dungeon of dread and doom. Now, Jesus was ministering to the people along the streets of Capernaum when suddenly he is confronted with a man that flings himself desperately down into the dust at his feet. And this man was desperate Jairus. Jairus was the leader of the local synagogue, not a rabbi himself, but more like a head deacon or elder. And as such, he would have had close connections with the Pharisees, which means that he wasn't really supposed to like Jesus. But Jairus was desperate enough that he forgot what he was supposed to be as he lay there on the dusty roadside. Jairus was desperate because his daughter was very sick. Now, we all know that when Jesus walked the earth, he went around preaching, teaching, and doing good. Everywhere he went, he was an example of compassion. He loved the ones that the world considered sinners and outcasts. He even loved the ones who declared the others sinners and outcasts. Jesus went about healing the lame and the blind. He went about offering salvation to anyone who would place their faith in him. And Capernaum was the place that you might consider to be the headquarters of his ministry. And when he arrived back in Capernaum this day, the Bible says that the people, they started talking. Our translation of the ESV simply states that it was reported that Jesus had come home. The NIV says it was heard that he had come home. But I kind of like how the King James translates this Greek verb. It says that the town was noised that he was in the house. I like that. The town was noised. Because I can almost see the town starting to buzz and twitter with the news that Jesus had returned. Because people had learned that Jesus was a healer. When Jesus was in town, the blind would see, the lame would walk. Miracles of healing that baffled doctors then, and even would baffle doctors today, were almost commonplace when Jesus was around. So what great news this was for Jairus. His daughter was sick, and the great healer had returned. This man, Jairus, a leader of the local center of worship, a layperson elected as a religious leader, a man responsible for worship services. He would care for the scrolls, the Old Testament scriptures. He would be in charge of running the weekly schools. He would have the responsibility of holding the congregation faithful to the law. He would help in the distributing of money to the needy, and oftentimes he would be the one to secure a teacher for that coming worship service. Jairus was no stranger to religion. In fact, he was an insider, you might say. But he was an insider of the group that opposed Jesus. But that didn't matter to him because his child was ill. It didn't matter to Jairus as he lay there prostrate on the ground begging Jesus for help. And of course, Jesus will help, and Jairus starts to lead him the way to the house. But along the way, we have this story, what must have been a terrible distraction in Jairus' eyes. There's this woman who has a bleeding sickness, who has the strength of faith to believe that if she simply touches Jesus' garment, she'll be healed. And she does it. She sneaks right up. She touches his cloak. And she's healed. Immediately, she feels the illness leave her. But just as quickly, Jesus feels the power drain from him as well. And he turns around and he says, "Who touched me?" And he looks to see who had done it. And I love this part. I love how Jesus performs a miracle without even intending to do so. He didn't know it was happening until after it was done. And when the woman explains what she did and why, Jesus is impressed by her faith and tells her that her faith has made her well. A wonderful miracle, an incredible story. But to Jairus, this must have all seemed like a time-consuming distraction. We don't know how long of a delay it was. Probably not long. But right after this, before they make it to the house, a servant from Jairus' house delivered the worst news possible. His daughter had died. But Jesus isn't fazed by this. He simply says to Jairus, "Do not fear, only believe." And what powerful words these are. We all should take home these words with us, cling to them, live them, breathe them. Do not fear, only believe. Listen, there are times in our lives when we doubt, when we fear. Maybe we're in a situation like Jairus's. Maybe it's totally different. But we've all had those moments of despair and crises. But Jesus has words for times like those. Do not fear, only believe. So Jesus, he continues to the house, and as you might imagine, there's a great commotion there. People crying and wailing everywhere. But Jesus asks the kind of shocking question. He says, "Why are you making a commotion and weeping? The child's not dead, but sleeping." Now let's be honest. Jesus knew that the child had died. But he says that she's sleeping, which is odd because Jesus doesn't typically mislead with his words, right? So he must mean something by it. And here we find another nugget of truth in this scripture. There's a reason why so many books of the Bible with so many different authors all speak of death in the same way, as a sleep, a slumber. And the reason is this. For a person with faith in Christ, death is no more permanent than a Sunday afternoon nap. While we mourn the loss of people we love, if our loved one dies in the Lord, that separation is not forever. We look forward to the resurrection of all the faithful and life eternal in Christ's kingdom. The scene with Jairus, it reminds me of the moment in John chapter 11 after Lazarus had died. Martha is there speaking with Jesus, and she says, "Lord, if you had only been here, my brother would not have died." And Jesus responds with the words that any faithful person might say to someone at a funeral. He says, "Your brother will rise again." Martha answers saying, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day. But that's not what Jesus is talking about. Jesus' words are carefully chosen. They're always so perfectly chosen. Because he has something miraculous in store. You remember, Jesus calls into the tomb. He calls Lazarus, "Come out." And he does. Restored to life, Lazarus walks out of the tomb and after what turned out to be no more than a four-day nap. And Jairus' daughter, well, according to Jesus, is only similarly sleeping. All the servants, they heard him say this, though, and they gathered around, they laughed at him. "Silly rabbi, what do you know?" Well, Jesus has three steps to show them what he knows. Step one, Jesus throws out all the laughers and the scoffers right out of the house. He puts them right out. And then taking the parents into the room where the girl lay, he takes the girl by the hand, step two. And step three, he speaks the right words. He says, "Talitha kumai," which means, "Little girl, I say to you, arise." And she does. And she's walking around and she's hungry. It's like she just woke up from a nap. I like this story because of its simplicity. We just broke it down into three steps, really, right? We did that because I think that these three steps can walk out with you today. When you're desperate, when you're in one of those critical life-altering situations like Jairus was, follow Jesus' three steps. Step one, Jesus throws out the laughers and the scoffers out of the house. When your hands are full dealing with a critical situation, you don't need to be surrounded by people who are negative, draining, and time-consuming. If they're pulling you away from what's important, or worse, pushing you away from God, then you remove them from that situation. It's better for you, it's better for them in the long run, as well as also. You need to be surrounded by people who will build you up and help foster an environment of care and love. In the middle of a crisis, you surround yourself with hope and love. In step two, Jesus, he takes the girl by the hand. Now, this simple act, this could be a whole sermon unto itself, probably. But for you, when you're in times of crisis, take the Lord by the hand. My daughter, Ella, is just learning to begin to learn to walk, really. And all the time, I'm taking her hands in mine and kind of walking around with her. And we walk from one side of the room to the other. And she holds on. She walks with me, right? Let this be the model for how you rely on God. Let him hold your hands and let him lead you, you know, one hobbling step at a time. Because God knows where we have to go and the best way to get us there. So let him lead you every step of the way. In step three, Jesus, he says the right words. And in this story, those words are Talitha Kumai. Baby girl, get up. He speaks what he wants to happen. And God wants nothing more of us than in our times of crisis to come to him, and that we speak and we ask him for many and great things. God wants us to pray and to pray big. And prayer works. The prayers of the righteous availeth much. James chapter 5, verse 16. But above all else, remember Jesus' words to Jairus that the seconds that this crisis hits, do not fear, only believe. Because our lives are always going to be full of trouble and crisis. Do not fear, only believe. This crisis that we live with, it's the reality of living in this sin-corrupted world. We're constantly faced with anger, crime, illness, and even death. But none of this is by God's design and according to his plan. But the comfort that we have, even in these times of trouble, is that we know that God is constantly at work in the lives, working for the good of those who love him. God's love and his ultimate plan is so much bigger than the here and now. God's plan is eternity and paradise for each of us. The truth is that all of our lives here in this life are but a drop in the well of the eternal joy that God's people will live to see. If we remember that, we can come at all the crises of this world and simply answer them with those beautiful words, do not fear, only believe. Because we know that with Christ, no matter what happens, we do not need to be afraid. God cares for his people in this life and the next. Trust him and lay your burdens upon his shoulders. When life gets tough, do not fear, only believe. It's so important. I want us to say it all here together today. Can you say it with me? Do not fear, only believe. I think we can say it stronger than that. Do not fear, only believe. And one more time, so it's written upon our hearts as truth. Do not fear, only believe. Amen. Now know that the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. We stand to sing together our song, I Will Exalt Your Name.